The following is a home program entitled Live in a Funeral or a Celebration, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on July 3, 2015, in Kansas City, Missouri, USA.
So this Krishna consciousness movement will actually solve all your problems. It will relieve you of every single problem that you have. We studied this morning in the Srimad Bhagavatam class that one who actually fixes himself in Krishna consciousness, he's tasting ecstasy at every minute, and his life is completely devoid of problems. He has only one problem, that's how to save the souls of this world who are suffering in illusion. Personally, he has no problem. So please take this process very seriously, and you'll have no problems and anxiety in life, except how to save the world. Prabhupada explains in the Nectar Devotion what should be the attitude of a preacher of the Krishna consciousness movement. The preacher should think that I'm trying to spread this movement all over the world to deliver the fallen souls of this planet, but I'm not fit to do that. Even though I'm not fit to do that, I'm trying to act as an instrument of the previous acharyas for the sake of delivering all the souls of this world back to home, back to Godhead. So, if you have this mood of trying to connect with Krishna and trying to share Krishna with the world, your life will just become so happy, so blissful, so full of light, so full of love, so full of knowledge, so full of celebration. You see? Your every moment will become a celebration. Otherwise, what's the opposite of celebration? A funeral. Would you rather go to a celebration or a funeral? You see? Your choice. You can live at a funeral, or you can live at a celebration. Celebrating it every minute, you see. Krishna consciousness is a celebration. To not be Krishna conscious means you're attending a funeral, your own funeral. You're dying, and that's it. You're dying having missed the opportunity of this human form of life. So do not neglect to awaken your Krishna consciousness. Do not neglect this. And this will bring you into the platform of unlimited happiness. Pramasakamtvanantam. That unlimited spiritual happiness that goes on increasingly, goes on increasing more and more forever. Increasingly ecstatic ad infinitum, that is Krishna consciousness. So now we're still suffering. We're caught up in the modes of nature, the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, the mode of goodness are entangling us. But if we will take whatever position we're at and try to bow down to Krishna, try to absorb ourselves in Krishna, try to fix our minds on Krishna, you see, try to become a devotee of Krishna, in this way, Man mana mama man makto majanji mang namaskuru mamme vaishishi yog vayavang an manang matparayanaha. In this way, you become fully absorbed in Krishna and you will go to Krishna. It is guaranteed by Krishna. If you absorb yourself in me, you will come to me. Ma me ti, he comes to me. It's guaranteed by the Supreme Person Himself, you see. So Krishna will not neglect you. Put your faith in Krishna. Trust Him. Krishna will not cheat you. He will not cheat you. Put your faith in Him, that if I give my love to Krishna, He will not let me down. You see. In the material world, we've been burned by love. We gave our love here, we gave our love there, and we were frustrated. So we tend to hold back like a totally going within the shell, you see. We don't want to give our love to anyone now. We're afraid to do that. We want to remain in a shell. But I can tell you right now, you can come out of the shell, because Krishna is not going to cheat you. You come out of your shell. Give your love to Krishna. If you're not really sure, just make an experiment. Give your love to Krishna and see what happens. You'll be amazed. The whole world becomes transformed. It's like in a dark room, you can flip the switch, the whole room becomes illuminated. There is a switch, it's called Krishna consciousness, there's a switch. And when you practice Krishna consciousness, you're flipping a switch and the whole world becomes transformed for you. You won't see the world in the same way. Now you see, instead of seeing on a dog-eat-dog world, you know, you'll see the land of Krishna. I remember when I was in elementary school, some kid was playing a joke. We were in the boys' bathroom, and he stood on the commode and he flushed it. And then he went, phew. He said, "Goodbye, cool world." And he went, phew, like he was flushing himself down the toilet. It was funny. In the boys' bathroom, he stood on the toilet. You could see it was not, the stall wasn't that high. It was like up to here. So he stood on the commode and he flushed and he went, phew, and he said, "Goodbye, cruel," like as he flushing himself down the toilet, you see.
How can he go through that?
Huh?
He did it.
What's
How
that?
How can he go through the toilet?
No, he didn't. He just faked it. He didn't actually flush himself down the toilet, but he made it look like he was flushing down the toilet. He said, "Goodbye, cruel world." Like, it was like he's coming down the toilet, you know, committing suicide down the toilet. But actually, it's funny, but the thing is, this world is a very cruel nightmare if you're not Krishna conscious. That's the point. All joking aside, it's actually a very hellish place if you're not Krishna conscious. It's really a nasty place. It's a fan. Dog eat dog world. I mean, everybody, it's just like everybody's trying to exploit you, and you try to even make a living. It's difficult sometimes. You work so hard and you get laid off and you're in anxiety. I can't pay my bills. My house is going to be taken away. Just, there's so much anxiety in the world, you see. And then you hear about ISIS coming to kill all the non-Muslims. You know, all this stuff is, you know, they have a goal to want to completely kill all the non-Muslims on the whole planet. You know, light you on fire, cut off your head. I mean, all this is stuff going on right now on the planet, you see. It's a nasty place here. It's a very nasty place. But the good news is Krishna controls the whole thing. Nothing can happen without his sanction. So whatever's happening here, it's all within the laws of karma. It all has an ultimate purpose for Krishna's ends to be achieved. It all has an ultimate purpose. So once you see everything in relationship with Krishna, there's no anxiety, because you know Krishna loves you and he's directly in charge of anything that's happening to you. You don't have anything to worry about anymore, you see. When you become Krishna conscious, you're protected, completely protected at every minute for all of eternity. It's the ultimate insurance, you see. We get insurance to protect our car in case we have a wreck or, you know, something like that. And they insure our house in case it's struck by lightning, you know. That happened to us in Austin. Our house was our total from a lightning strike. But the insurance, we rebuilt the house, you see. So we protect ourselves with insurance, but actually, what insurance do you have against death? Life insurance is, no, it doesn't insure you against death. It just gives benefits to your spouse, your dependents. But we do have life insurance that will insure you against death, and that's Krishna consciousness. Because when you become Krishna conscious, now you have achieved immortality. Because you have entered, you have revived your actual self, the eternal spiritual being within. You're no longer, your consciousness is no longer identifying with the temporary blood and flesh. Now your consciousness is that eternal spiritual being within. So, and this life insurance is not expensive. You just have to have your faith and chant Krishna's name with love. It's all you have to do. All you have to do. So we're trying to sell this insurance policy. ISKCON is actually an insurance agency. I didn't know if you knew that. But ISKCON's an insurance agency. And we're trying to sell this insurance policy to every man, woman, and child on the planet. Chant Hare Krishna and achieve immortality. Insurance, it's been confirmed by the explosion in the kitchen. And we are trying to sell you an insurance policy for the price of faith. There's no money. It's just you have to have your faith that, yes, Krishna is real. He's not a myth. There is a person, Krishna. And he loves me more than I can even begin to imagine. And he has unlimited power and facilities that give me everything I need for all of eternity. All I have to do is love him and agree to go back into my relationship with him, you see. So we were trying to convince everyone to take our Hare Krishna life insurance policy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. But they say, no, I'm already covered by Allstate. What good can Allstate do for you? Can they give you immortality? No. So we need to convince people. This is where you have to get your insurance policy. Otherwise, you're not properly insured unless you're Krishna conscious. You're not properly insured against death, is it? But this will give you insurance, immortality insurance. Death will never touch you ever again. You've gone through death millions of times. This is your last time. You may say, well, wait a minute. I see devotees are dying. I mean, Jamuna just left her body, and, you know, and somebody, I see so many devotees now. What was the name? Ananta Rupa? Ananta Rupa?
Yeah.
He just left. Dear God, brother, Ananta Rupa just left. How you can say, I see so many Prabhupada disciples now, especially, are leaving. They're getting up there in their years. they're all a bunch of senior citizens now. Jai Pataka Swami came close by God's grace. He survived this time. So there's so much anxiety, you see, one may say. See, but you know what? It's not life. For a devotee, it's completely different. Death is not the same thing for a devotee, even though his body will die. Of course, it is possible. I just read in the Bhagavatam, it is possible, and sometimes it happens, that devotees go back to Godhead in their self-same bodies. In other words, their material body is transformed into a spiritual body. The Pandavas went back in their spirit, and their bodies became transcendentalized. It's possible to go back to keep your same body, although who would want it, you know, such an ugly body like this, you know. But the Pandavas actually went back in the self-same bodies. But generally, a devotee will leave his material body, like Prabhupada, leave your material body behind. So what is the difference then between the death of a devotee and the death of a non-devotee? Prabhupada compares it to the mouth of the cat. There's two types of experiences that one can have of the mouth of the cat. Have you ever seen a mother cat carrying the kitten? Yes. She picks up the kitten by the skin on the back of the little kitten's neck and gives the kitten a little joyride. Oh, mommy's carrying me, a little joyride, you know. It's like going on the amusement park, going on a little ride somewhere. It's fun, you know, a little fun ride. Mommy's carrying me around, you know. It's fun. But that same mouth of the same cat, when he picks up a rat, the Prabhupada said the rat goes, ki, ki, ki. It means he's dying. It's ki, ki. Prabhupada said, ki, ki, ki means he's dying. The cat's just playing with him for a minute before he crushes him and completely obliterates him, you know. Sinks his jaws into the flesh and blood, breaks the rat's neck, and the blood comes oozing out, and the cat has a wonderful, delicious meal of a bloody rat. Of course, we don't eat such food, but for a cat, it's really delicious. A bloody rat is like, you know, like garunga potatoes or something for the cat, but not for us. We have a different kind of food. But so death for a devotee is a wonderful experience that Prabhupada said is like this. You go to sleep and you wake up with Krishna. You see, after a hard lifetime, if a hard day's work or a hard lifetime of endeavor, struggling in Krishna consciousness, now my reward is I get to go back to Krishna. I lay down, lay down the body, leave aside this old, decrepit, sick body and get my eternal youthful form. It never gets sick, it never gets old. You don't need to get glasses or, you know, have a root canal. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff, you see. You don't have to worry about paying your rent or, you know, IRS or any of this stuff. You just go there and have a wonderful relationship with Krishna and Radharani and the gopis and the cows and the calves and the peacocks and the Jamuna. not the polluted Jamuna we see here, but a pure, unadulterated Jamuna. It's the most beautiful, sublime river you could ever imagine. Where goddess Jamuna is to serve Krishna in a particular way has manifested herself as a river. She's actually a great pure devotee. Jamuna here also, but we don't have the eyes to see that. In the spiritual world, you'll have the eyes to see everything perfectly. Govardhan, everything. You'll see it in its original pure form. And it's just the most, and it goes on forever with so many varieties of loving relationships. So, if you want to get an idea about it, just read the Krishna book, and it'll give you a very good idea of what is in store for you when you go back to Krishna as above. So all you really have to do to get there is to follow Krishna's instructions. He says, take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, get initiated, obey the spiritual master faithfully, and by doing that, you see, those are the three prongs of success in spiritual life. Shelter, diksha, and obedience. If you have followed these three principles, S-D-O, you see. S-D-O is all I really know, you see. Shelter, diksha, and obedience. If you'll take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, you get initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, and then you obey him faithfully, you're a liberated soul already. You don't have to wait 10 million years. If you do those three things, as soon as you embrace that mood, you're already a liberated soul. You're already liberated. You see, even while in this material world, you're a liberated soul, because now you're seeing Krishna, and you're connecting with Krishna at every minute, you see. Your spiritual master teaches you how to connect everything with Krishna. That's called by obeying your spiritual master. Now you're becoming empowered to see Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. So perhaps there are some questions. I can try to answer them. Maybe you have a question. What about on the internet? We have any? Here's a gentleman back here, Prabhu, with a question.
Beginning of the lecture, you mentioned about the evolution in the Vedas. So we know that there are 8.4 million species, is that correct? Right. So does every jiva go through all the 8.4 million?
He doesn't have to.
From jiva to jiva?
He doesn't have to. It is possible. See, the Prabhupada may be surprised to hear, but Prabhupada explains in his Bhagavatam purport, the first birth you take when you enter the spiritual world, the material world, I mean to say, you can't take birth as Brahma, that's your first birth.
What?
Lord Brahma. You were Lord Brahma. When you fell in the spiritual world, your first birth was Lord Brahma. Now, it is possible to go back from Lord Brahma, just to have one birth, realize, well, I made a mistake, and go back to Krishna Loka, but generally that doesn't happen. Lord Rama thinks, well, maybe being Indra would be better. And he tries being Indra. And he just keeps coming down all the way to Indragopa, a germ, you see. So the answer is yes. We're so dull that we go through them again and again and again, trying to enjoy in this way and that way, thinking, well, not as a grasshopper, maybe as a caterpillar, a cobra, I can be happy. You know, we try all these different ways to be happy. So you've been through all the species, Prabhu. You've been through 8,400,000 species again and again and again and again. That's a fact. You have. Now you've come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. Now you have to take advantage of it and get out. That's intelligence. Okay, next question. When you're a human being, you create karma. In the animal kingdoms, you do not create any karma whatsoever. You simply take the results of karma in the lower form. When you're a human being, you create different kinds of karma. You can create the karma to become an animal in your next life, or you can create the karma to become a plant in your next life, depending on your activities. If one is very sinful, the more sinful you are, the lower you go into the mode of ignorance. Is it? If you seriously take up Krishna consciousness, you're guaranteed to at least be a human being in your next life. Even if you don't become a pure devotee and go back to Godhead, if you take it up seriously, Prabhupada explains, you're guaranteed to be a human in your next life, so you continue where you left off. So if nothing else, everybody should at least get initiated and take it up seriously, you see, to ensure a human birth in their next life, so they can continue. But it's not difficult. If you really take it seriously, shelter, diksha, and obedience, if you take that very seriously, you can go back to God in this one lifetime.
I have one question.
Yeah.
Some people, I read something about that in scripture, that due to karma, the people in the next birth, they get a different life, quality of life. So in our society also see, somebody lives with a deformed physical form or poor, and some people take birth in a very rich family with a very good physique.
That's their karma from previous lifetime, yeah.
So those people who have done very good karma has taken birth with good qualities and good families and everything.
Just like you Indians. See, you had good karma. Born in India is good karma, generally speaking.
I'm not exactly... Yeah, you can tell that. But still, most of the maybe... 99.99% people, they don't follow the karma.
They don't take advantage of their good karma. That's a thing.
Yeah. Why it happens?
Because we don't have a proper educational system on that right now. It's due to lack of proper education. You see, the education now is secular. The public education given by the government is secular education. What we need to have is we need to completely revamp the whole educational system in every country throughout the whole world. There has to be qualified Brahmin Vaishnavas who are teaching in every elementary school, every junior high, every high school, every college, every university in the whole world. The only persons who should be allowed to teach are the Vaishnava Brahmanas. You see? No one else should be allowed to teach. So ISKCON is at mission now. We want to create thousands and millions of qualified Vaishnava Brahman teachers. So you can go out and take all these positions in the universities and the schools and everywhere, so that every man, every single child, every boy and girl growing up in the whole world will get the proper education of how to practice Krishna consciousness.
I have more questions actually, depending upon your answer. Because, everything is Krishna's wish, God's wish. Even a leaf cannot move without God's wish, right?
Yes, sir.
See, if that's so, that this education system is also God's wish, right?
So, what is the point, Devi?
He's making that this education system is also sanctified.
Krishna wants it, but the thing is, here's one thing, you don't forget this point. Krishna doesn't want robots. Therefore, Krishna, you can't have loving reciprocation with a robot, okay? Krishna wants us to come to him voluntarily. So when we choose to go away from Krishna, we find ourselves in a situation which is unworkable. That's the present modern-day situation. It's an unworkable situation. This whole society is gradually disintegrating. When you have a society which is not God-centered, it's not workable. The thing is disintegrating. The world civilization is disintegrating. That's also Krishna's mercy, to help us wake up and realize we can't go on without putting Krishna in the center. So... it's like the government has two institutions, and you can be a student in the university, or you can be an inmate in the prison. Just like there's a little joke in Pennsylvania, they have Penn State and the State Pen, you see. So you can be in Penn State or the State Pen. So you can either be in Krishna's spiritual energy or his material energy. It's your choice. But both of them are meant to bring you back to the point of Krishna consciousness. So the negative stuff that's going on here is actually to teach you a lesson, that without Krishna, I cannot be happy. The Archbishop of Canterbury stated it very wisely. He said, they want the kingdom of God without God, but they cannot have it, you see. So all the difficulties we're facing here, it's actually Krishna's mercy. We want the kingdom of God without God? Okay, then take the chaos. You see. Take chaos. Take a breakdown of all morality, all sanity, you see. It's like now homosexual marriage is becoming this new standard. It's insane. Yeah.
We cannot blame Krishna for having us in this education and say it is Krishna essentially. But it is our... I have to begin with, we are here.
We wanted to try to be Krishna ourselves. We had a desire to be the center of the universe. Here I am in the spiritual world serving Krishna, the center of all enjoyment. What would it be like if I was the center of enjoyment? I'd really like to be the center of enjoyment. I'd like to be the center of enjoyment. So Krishna immediately... As soon as you think that way, you find yourself in the material world immediately. Oh, I'm the center of enjoyment. This is all mine to enjoy. It's all for my pleasure. So try it and see how you like it. You wanted it. Krishna gave it to you because the child wanted to smoke a cigarette and the father said, "But my dear son, isn't good for you." "But no, Daddy, I want to smoke a cigarette." So he says, okay, he lets him try so the child can see it. It's a horrible thing. Why would I want to smoke a cigarette? So Krishna gives you the opportunity to be the enjoyer. You wanted to be the enjoyer? Okay, take it. And you realize, well, that was a dumb mistake. I'm never going to do that one again. And the fact is, Krishna guarantees, you see, abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartin arjuna mam upechita kaunteya punar janman vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, punar janman vidyate, he will never take birth again. So your little kid who stuck his hand in the fire, you see, when mommy wasn't looking, because you're really curious. Mommy always said, Ashok, whatever you do, don't stick your hand in the fire. It'll burn. He doesn't know what burn means. What does that mean, burn? It's like a forbidden fruit in the Bible, you know. God said you can have every fruit in the Garden of Eden, but don't take this one. This is the forbidden apple. So you immediately want to take the forbidden apple, you see. So we wanted to, you can enjoy everything you want, but one thing you can't do is you can't be the supreme enjoyer. That's the forbidden apple. But that's the one we want to try, you see, because it's the forbidden apple. The kid wanted to stick it. He could do anything he wanted, but he wasn't allowed to stick his hand in the fire. So now I want to do it. As soon as mommy goes away, I want to do it. And boy, does he get burned, and he'll never do it again, you see. So we stuck our hand in the fire, and now we got burned. And Krishna say, "Well, I told you so." So don't do it again, yeah.
Another point. We are always trying to say that Krishna did this. Krishna is now giving us Krishna consciousness. We have a choice. What are we taking? Material life. Right now also.
We brought ourselves here. You can't say, "Well, Krishna is so cruel. He kicked us out of this." No, we came here out of our desire. We wanted a place where we're the center of enjoyment. So Krishna, what can he do? He's like the affectionate father who wants to give the child what he wants. He does not say you're bad for the child sometimes. He at least lets the child have something. They're so determined they have it, he lets them have it sometime. Let them experience it. They wanted it, all right. Let them have it out of affection. But the safety net is there, you see. We put ourselves in a difficult position by our own stupidity, but the safety net is there. The Vedic wisdom, the spiritual masters, and Krishna comes here just to... You came here out of foolishness, okay. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam madharmasya tadatmanam shudyam yaham. You see, Krishna says, "I come." You see, whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So Krishna very kindly comes again and again as Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya. He sends great acharyas like Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, just for the purpose of bringing his dear children back to him. You see?
And even if we come to Krishna consciousness, how serious we are.
The difficulty is we take it casually. I was brought into this movement by a wonderful sannyasi named Vishnu Janaswamy. He's a famous kirtan singer, actually. his kirtans were so sweet that Prabhupada told him, when you sang in the kirtan, your kirtan carried me to the spiritual world. Prabhupada told him, your kirtan carried me to the spiritual world. That's how sweet his kirtans were. But anyway, he made me a devotee back in 71 in Austin, Texas. But he made he had some really wonderful wisdom that I picked up from him. Here's one I learned from him. He may have heard it from Prabhupada. I never heard Prabhupada say it, but he said it, and it's really wise. He said, casual means casualty. If you don't take this process seriously, kind of some like, you know, some kind of a part-time hobby you do on the side, a little bit here and now, every now and then, you don't take it seriously, you only take it casually. Casual means casualty, and then you'll be a casualty in due course of time. So don't take it casually, take it very seriously. This is a life and death matter. I had to either become Krishna conscious or you know, go back into the material world, birth after birth after birth. You see, and become very serious about Krishna consciousness. You may say, but I like to laugh and have a good time and have fun. You want me to be serious? I mean, this sounds like Puritanism, you know. Back in the early days of America, the Puritans. No, you don't understand. The more you become serious, the more you become jolly. Prabhupada was the most serious and the most jolly person. When Prabhupada would laugh, it was oceanic. His laugh would take in the whole universe, but he practically swallowed the whole universe in his laugh. So it's not that being serious about Krishna consciousness means you can't laugh anymore and you just have to be always have a frown on your face and be like something. It's not like that. The more you're serious about Krishna consciousness, that means you're going deep, deep, deep into your relationship with Krishna. And when you do that, it becomes more and more ecstatic. You're very deep in a meditative state where actually the nectar is just oozing out of your heart and flooding the world in all directions. That's what happens when you actually become serious about Krishna consciousness. You taste a very deep and sublime nectar, which then just oozes out of you and wherever you go. That way you can preach effectively, you see. Because there's nectar. You're emanating nectar because you're tasting it by deeply absorbing yourself very seriously in meditation on Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Questions more? Someone who hasn't asked a question yet? Yeah, go ahead.
They're talking about, again, casual days and how much willing we are to train our children. In Krishna Bhakti.
Hmm? How much?
How much one is eager to train their children in Krishna consciousness?
Well, the real bottom line is how eager are you to be a pure devotee of Krishna? Then training will happen naturally. If you say, well, you know, I saw one parent that came up, they had the kid offer their obeisances to me. The parent didn't offer obeisances, they had the kid offer obeisances only. That doesn't work that way. You see, you want your kid to offer your obeisances to senior devotees. You offer obeisances too. The two of you offer together, you see. That's how to train. Be an acharya. Not that, well, I smoke, but you shouldn't smoke, kind of a deal, like in the modern day world. And I was in high school, the teachers had their smoke room, their break room, and they all go smoke cigarettes in there. But if a student was caught smoking cigarettes, he'd be severely punished. Talk about a double standard. He's severely punished. So you have to be an acharya. You want to train your child to be a devotee. You become fixed up. You chant 16 rounds. You get initiated. You become very obedient to your spiritual master. And the child will naturally see what you're doing. And the child will follow your example.
They are not very much favor of training their children. They want just a blessing. They want them to go to the karmi school, get materially educated, so they can live in a material way, very successful.
Well, that opens up another topic.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, maybe I discuss about that. I have no problem doing that. The ideal thing is, and one of our, actually you can get a book from krishna.com, or it's also on amazon.com. It's an e-book. If you want it, you can get it in your iPad or your smartphone. It's on homeschool. Rudha Devi Das, he's written a home book on Krishna conscious homeschooling. She trained her little kid, Ravi, at home. She didn't send him to public school. You can actually order educational kits. There's Christians who put them out because they don't like home. They like homeschooling. They have whole developed systems from first grade all the way to the 12th grade. All the subject matter is there. So actually my disciple now, Madhavananda, he's educating his little son, Krishneet, and he's about 6 and a half?
Yes.
Huh? Yeah. So his primer for learning how to read is the Srimad Bhagavatam. He's 6 and a half year old kid reading the Bhagavatam.
He's doing the curriculum for third grade.
And he's already the third grade curriculum. At what age, normally, at what age do they enter the first grade in the public schools?
Six
years old? Okay. So he's 2 years ahead. He's up with 8 year olds right now. And he's probably going to be even more ahead. This boy, Ravi, by the time he was 13, he had gotten all the way to the 12th grade. And he entered the university at age 13. And he excelled at the university, got a PhD. Now he's a big professor at a university. And he never went to, he didn't public school. He didn't touch public school until he got to the university level. He never went to kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seven, eight, nine. 13 grades he skipped. He went through 13 grades at home under his mother's direction. And then he entered the university and became a PhD, a big PhD. You see? So that's an interesting point all of our parents can think about. You can actually get her book and she'll tell you exactly what to do, how to homeschool your kids. And it means that one parent has to stay at home. You have to make less money. But what's more important, your kids or your or money? If money is more important than your kids, then, you know, kids getting a Krishna conscious education, then maybe you should get a cheaper house.
Whatever they want, then Krishna fulfills their desire.
Yeah, Krishna will give you what you want. If you want money, Krishna will give you money. But actually, I'll give you a secret. If you want Krishna, the money will come automatically. Prabhupada describes in that way. Krishna is Narayan, you see. And wherever there is Narayan, Lakshmiji is always there. For a materialist, sometimes money is there, sometimes money is not there. Just like the Vanderbilt family was the most wealthy family in the whole United States. Now they're completely broke. They're totally broke. The Vanderbilt family was the wealthiest family in America. Now all the descendants of that family, there's not one penny left from the Vanderbilt fortune, you see. So the material wealth is like that. It's there and it's chanchala. Lakshmi Devi is chanchala for the materialist. Sometimes she's there, sometimes she's not there. But when you become a devotee of Krishna, fully absorbed in his service, then whatever money you need to serve, it'll always be there. It'll always be available for you. Lakshmiji always remains at the lotus feet of Narayan, massaging them very nicely. So I've been delighted to be with all of you here tonight. The kirtan really took off. I really appreciate the way everybody snapped with that kirtan. We had a really grooving kirtan tonight. I really appreciate everybody's mood during the kirtan. And you've heard very nicely the lecture also. I'm just delighted with all of you, how nicely you've heard. It's a wonderful little spiritual bubble we've had here tonight, you know, the Vaikuntha bubble. You're out in the suburbs of Kansas City, Missouri. Some say Missouri, or some say Missouri. I was born here, so I say Missouri. I'm born in St. Louis, so I say Missouri. That's the way the natives say. The old-time natives call it Missouri, not Missouri. Of course, Missouri is kind of appropriate because misery, you know. But if you're a devotee, it's not misery, it's Missouri. So anyway, we thank you all for being here. We love you. May Prabhupada bless you. May Krishna bless you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.
Jai.